You're welcome to head to
your time together. Thank you, JC. I wanted to let you know of one other thing that will be coming up next Sunday, the 29th. And it's this. Let me explain something, first of all, what's going on, just a little bit. I've had a cold, some allergies over the last couple days, and I took something last night to help me sleep, and I'm still feeling a little bit of the impact. I was telling Todd that this morning. So, didn't anticipate that, probably not the smartest thing to do, but so if I wander off, just help me out this morning. Just anyway, so next Sunday. What's that? Yeah, I should. Thank you, Patricia. Yeah. Last Sunday, we had our annual meeting, and it was a wonderful time. A lot of information, though. But Jeff Howard, our chairman of the council, finished that time just in the right balance of all that information, trying to assimilate that, summarized it really well. But we understand that many of you just couldn't make it last Sunday. It just wasn't possible. So we want to afford you another opportunity to come here about that information. And if you had questions since last Sunday, you're welcome to come. So it'll be next Sunday, right after the service ends. Jeff and I will be here, and any other council members. We're going to hang around for 15, 20 minutes. And you can ask questions. You'll hear some of the summary points again about some of the facts that were communicated last Sunday. So next Sunday, right afterwards, it won't be long, but keep that in mind. Heather already prayed for the needs that last Monday morning brought to our attention, to our minds. I don't know where you were when you first heard of the news, the tragedy that was taking place unfolding in the Navy Yard last Monday. I was in my car. I turned on the radio and was sadly not as shocked as I thought I might be, just because we've heard of this before. But then my thoughts did go to the people that are impacted, going to be impacted for the rest of their lives because of that day. But Jesus has called us here today to remind us that in the midst of brokenness and in the midst of what happens because people are broken, as we saw Monday, Jesus has called us here today to remind us about how he brings healing and wholeness and how he restores. We need to be reminded of this. I need to be reminded of this on a global scale, related to last Monday and circumstances I have no control over. I need to be reminded of that in the community in which we live, and I see the needs, and I don't have any control over how some of these needs are going to be met. And I need to be reminded of issues even in my own heart, brokenness in my own heart. I need to be reminded today of how Jesus brings healing and hope and wholeness. So I don't know where you are in this dynamic in this equation today, but I'm just praying that you will hear in an unmistakable way the voice of Jesus through the presence of the Spirit of God here, encouraging you, strengthening you in whatever ways you're wrestling with some brokenness. Let me give you just a description, a list of how Isaiah, the prophet, describes how Jesus brings healing and wholeness. Isaiah says this, that when Jesus brings healing and wholeness, the poor hear good news. Those with broken hearts know some healing. These are those phrases, Lee, if we could get those up. There we go. Good. Thank you. The poor hear good news. Those with broken hearts know some healing. Those in captivity experience freedom. Those in darkness see light. Those who are grieving know comfort. Those who are mourning know joy. And those who are in despair have their hearts lifted. Fear doesn't have to win. And anxiety doesn't have to rule. As Isaiah describes this reality in life, what he is describing is what happens when the community of Jesus followers, the community of Messiah followers, what happens when we live together in community. This is what happens because this is who Jesus is. And he describes this group of people as an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Lee, if we could have the logo up right now. This is why I think God prompted the designer of our website to put this image of a tree and who Jesus is bearing fruit, bringing life. This is what's happening in our midst. This is what is happening as Jesus lives among us. It's not something that we pine for in the past, and it's not something that when we get our act together, it'll happen in the future. It's happening right now because this is what Jesus does when he lives among us. In all of our weakness and all of our failures, he does this. We are his people. We are his community right here, right now, for better, for richer, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. We're his people. And he's doing this in our midst and in churches like us around the globe. So be encouraged with that. Think about how Isaiah's words and the reality of those words are coming true for hundreds of people in Japan. And how you're a part of that because of that connection we have with the house. In India, hundreds of pastors are getting shepherded and discipled because of Sam and Rachel Paulson. Becky is communicating needs, our missionary with OM, from her international communications role in some of the most unreached people areas in the world. We got to see what God is doing in the people of Guatemala as we got to go down there the beginning of August, end of July, and see how God is showing up and doing what Isaiah said there. But I encourage you to think about how he is, in fact, doing that in your family. Think about that. Contemplate those words, how he's doing that. The reason for this is to be encouraged. Because often in my own heart, I think I would be encouraged as I remember, oh, some good old days. And oh, if we could just be there. I could be encouraged. Or if we could only do this better someday, I'd be encouraged. And God is working in me a discipline that is bringing about a fruit of joy and trust in him that is kind of in a fresh way, a good thing that God is showing up. It's often, though, because my eyes are just not attuned to it. Right here, right now. Because we are his community. We are a serving community. We are a community who serves because Jesus lives among us. This is a part of our DNA. It's hardwired into who we are because it's who Jesus is. Jesus said, I live among you as a servant. I live among you as one who does not have rights to be claimed. I live among you as someone who can lay down my rights and love. And serve. That's who we are. One of my favorite parts of the time when we had our Guatemala report was when Joe Rivetti got up here, if you remember that. Cindy and I talked about this a little bit. Joe was up here sharing what God had done in his heart in Guatemala. And we both commented on the fact as it seemed like we were watching Todd. Not only in physical appearance, but in just unknown mannerisms. Joe wasn't trying to do that. This was hardwired into him because of his genes. I had an opportunity to visit Bob Simmons' dad this past week. Dropped in on him. Was down in that neck of the woods. And when Bob's dad smiled at one point, my first thought was, I've seen that smile before. Bob smiles like his dad, not because he tries to, it's because he's hardwired to do it. It's in his genes. And that's what happens in us. Our DNA as followers of Jesus is to serve. We have to consciously squash that if it's not going to happen. So the question I think Jesus wants us to think about this morning in particular is, how do we strengthen our roots? Since we are an oak of righteousness already, how do we strengthen those roots? And I think there's four particular ways that he wants us to strengthen our roots this morning. And the first is simply this, to listen to the story of the good neighbor. But not just listen to it, listen to the story as if perhaps you've heard it for the first time. Or you're hearing it for the first time. For some of you in the room today, the story of the good neighbor might be very familiar. And as soon as I begin to read it, your mind might be tempted to go, oh, I've heard this before. And you kind of go into a zone and you don't listen. I do that. I know. But I encourage you to say, Jesus, help me right now to not listen to this story like I've heard it 100 times before. Help me hear it again. Almost for the first time. A teacher of the law was asking Jesus some questions. And he said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked, what's written in the law? And how do you read it? The man said to Jesus. And he answered. The man answered. Jesus asked the man the question. And the man answers here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. But then also love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus told this man, you're right. You got it. Love God and love your neighbor just like you would love yourself. You've answered correctly. Do this, you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, Luke tells us. And so he asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes. And they beat him. And then they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, a no good half-breed, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity. He had compassion. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him, and when I return I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So Jesus asked him, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus simply said, go and do likewise. The commonality of all three of these passerbyers, they all saw the man. But the Samaritan had a different view. He saw the man through different eyes. He saw the man with eyes of his heart. And when he saw the man, something happened and he took pity. He had compassion. He entered that man's brokenness. So he saw the man with compassion. He went to the man, and then he helped meet the man's needs. Three particular aspects that I think Jesus says to you and to me today, go and do likewise. Shelley read this passage in Philippians. Speaks about our DNA. The ifs in this passage could be read as since, because it is a completed action. This is the reality from which we live. So since you have been encouraged from being united with Christ, and since you have comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, and since you have tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, Paul says to the followers of Christ in Philippi, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Who had mercy? Who was the good neighbor? The one who had mercy, who didn't just see with his eyes, but saw with his heart, allowed, was willing to let his schedule be interrupted. The Samaritan was going some way too, but he saw the man, had compassion, and because of that compassion, was willing to let his schedule be interrupted, and he went to him and helped meet a need. And so Jesus says to you and to me today, go and do likewise. So how is it? This is a time in the message where I slow down just a bit. I ask you, encourage you to listen to not my voice, but to the voice of the Spirit of God in you. Because he's going to bring up some things in your thinking, in your heart, in your mind right now that I can't see into. And so I'm just going to simply ask some questions and be aware of who comes to mind. What comes to mind? Because that's the Spirit of God bringing up some very particular ways in which he is telling you to go and do likewise. So how about at home? How are you looking at the people in your home? Your brothers and your sisters, your parents, your children, other people in your home. Are you looking at them with a heart of compassion? Are you looking at them as Jesus is looking at them? And are you willing to let your schedule be adjusted to meet their needs? And it occurred to me, you might be experiencing a couple dynamics right now. One, the Spirit of God might be saying to you, well done. You're bringing up thoughts that, yes, Jesus is doing this in you and he is encouraging you, well done. He is saying. But other times, Jesus might be saying, no, you've been looking at your brother, your sister. You have not had compassion. You've not had compassion toward your mom and dad. You've not had compassion toward your children. And you've not rearranged your schedule. You've been on a path and you've not been willing to change it. How about at home? How about at work? Who's at work and how are you looking at them? As a priest, as a Levite, or as the Samaritan? Are you willing to adjust some of your schedules at work to meet some needs of people? How about at school? Middle school, high school, walking through those hallways, sitting in class, as you look at your friends, what goes on inside your heart? Are we more irritated by some of these needs Are we moved with a heart of compassion, willing to change our schedules, willing to meet needs? How about in your neighborhood? Lee, I'm skipping. I'm going to switch if your nose. I'm doing neighborhood before church. How about in your neighborhood? As you walk outside your front door and you see your neighbors day to day, time to time, how's your heart of compassion? Do you see them with the eyes of Jesus? Brandon Heath has a song that I really enjoy challenging. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes for just 1 second so I can see people as you see them, Jesus. And help me make adjustments. Be willing to move out of my schedule and to meet some needs. Is that happening in your perspective as you think about your neighbors? Who's coming to mind right now? Who is the Spirit of God bringing up in your home, at work, at school, in your neighborhood? He's challenging us as a church in this very same way. Last week we heard some pretty significant information, challenging financial information, very challenging information. And it occurred to me that God is calling us to think about our role in this community in some new and important ways. He's challenging us to look at our community and to look at those around us in our area with eyes of compassion. Do we see their needs? And are we willing to make adjustments in how we do things to meet their needs? Are we willing to do that? We are. We are. Because Jesus is alive and well among us, and He is moving. I've mentioned this before, but one of the implications that He is moving and the council is saying, go for it, is He's challenging me to move outside the circles of Christ Community Church and to use how God has wired me outside of these circles and outside of these walls, so to speak. And the council is freeing me up to do some chaplaincy training, to take some clinical pastoral education units, where I am being shaped and sharpened by 8 people that are becoming friends in a small group at the Goodwin House down in Bailey's Crossroads. How these other caregivers and chaplains and pastors are speaking into my life already, asking some very good and important questions about my pastoral formation, my competency, and my reflection, my time to reflect and think. And then He's given me opportunities to spend time with the likes of Daisy. A week ago, I had time, and I asked some nurses at a station, I said, who could I visit today? And they said, Daisy could use a visit. And I went and spent about an hour with Daisy, and I heard about how her family has put her in there, and she is not happy. She's doing this at one point. She said, I don't know who to be mad at. She didn't feel ready to be in there. But you're allowing me to be next to Daisy. And there's hundreds of Daisies in the Goodwin House. And there are going to be hundreds of Daisies, thousands, in this area that, from what I'm reading in articles from the Post, are going to be an underserved population as the years go ahead. You are moving and you are freeing up some of your resources in me personally to do that. But God is also moving in us as a church. Quick quiz. You don't have to do this if you don't want to. Quick quiz, kind of a trick question. On the count of three, point to the church. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, good. Most of you probably got that, yeah. Yes. It's not the walls. It's not the space. As important as this space is, and as important as it is what this looks like and how we take care of it, huge sections of the Old Testament talk about the importance of space of worship. Hugely important. but it's not the church. It's not who we are. And God is asking us to look at our space in some very interesting ways. Mike Fasana, God stirring something in his heart. For the first time, he is using this pressure that we're feeling financially to move us. And I think this pressure that we're feeling financially is from God. And he is saying, I'm using this pressure to move you in ways and circumstances that you've not moved yet. And I want you to move in those areas. So we're having a couple conversations already. We're not sure where they're going to go. They're just at the very beginning. But there's two conversations already happening, pretty specific conversations, and two meetings, one on October 1st and one on October 9th. We're going to sit down with people and hear about where God may be leading us to meet people where they are. One of the places we're having conversation with, the pastor has written an article where he talks about the need of a third place in people's lives. That we function in our home a lot and work in school, but we need that third place is very important, where we can just kind of hang out and be and learn and gather. How does Christ's community become a third place for people outside of some of the normal connections we have already? God's moving us in that way, unmistakable way. Very exciting meeting yesterday, just thinking about these meetings and these conversations. The third way we strengthen our roots is this. First, we listen to the stories. The first way is we listen to stories of Jesus in a fresh way. Second, we develop habits. We go and do likewise as Jesus instructs us to. But the third way is we do not do this alone. We get connected. In Acts, Luke gives us just a snapshot of what relationships look like. These were the early followers of Jesus. He had come, been crucified, was buried, was raised, came back, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. This is what happens afterwards. The Spirit of God came, and the followers of Jesus devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs being performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They just looked at things differently. They sold property and possessions. They gave to who needed it. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Just a snapshot at one time. Elements that characterize us. Elements that are going to continue to characterize us. Because this is what happens when the Spirit of God lives among us as He is. So don't go it alone. As we talk about being a community of serving one another, get connected. Two conversations should be happening right now with us. First is, we will be contacting you. If you're not connected, you can expect a conversation at some point. Just saying, hey, is there a way that we could work so you could get connected outside of Sunday mornings? No pressure, it's just going to be a question. So expect that. And when it comes, don't be surprised. And it's not going to be, as I said, pressure. It's just going to be, how can we get you connected? What works for you? If what we're doing right now isn't fitting, then believe me, Ramon is more than willing and happy, and Heather is too, to say, we'll figure something out. But the other side of the conversation is that you take responsibility too, like I do, and say, okay, I'm not connected. Talk to me. I'm owning my responsibility for getting connected. I'm not waiting on somebody to call me. I know it. I see it. Help me figure this out. Both ways. We're not waiting on each other. Both ways. Let's figure out how to get connected in a meaningful way. We can't do this alone. God never intended that to happen. But the last is this. And oh, how I need this fourth one. In the midst of all of this, God is saying to you and to me this morning, relax. Relax. It was never up to you, and it will never be up to you. So relax. The image that comes to my mind, that came to my mind thinking about this, is one of my favorites. It's in Genesis chapter 1. It's the story of how God creates. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But what was happening? The Spirit of God was hovering over the chaos. The Spirit of God was hovering over the chaos and getting ready to create life and order. And that dynamic produces in you and me a sense of, I don't know what you're looking at in life, in your home, your relationships, church life. What does it look dark and formless and void? Do you see the Spirit of God hovering, creating? It's like a mother bird hovering over the wings. The word that should come into deep into our hearts is the word anticipation, the attitude. There should be a sense of anticipation. That's the purpose of that phrase in the text. When it says that the Spirit of God is hovering, that should produce in you and me a sense of anticipation, of hope. The Spirit of God is hovering, and He is getting ready to create out of chaos, out of darkness, out of formlessness. He is creating, and He's ready to. That's what He does. And unless we get to a point where we are actively squashing the Spirit of God, we can count on Him to do that. One of my favorite moments in a wedding is after the bride and groom have come up when I'm performing the ceremony. They're coming there and they're staring at me, looking at me, and oftentimes, as you well know, they look like two deers in headlights. Their eyes are big. All of a sudden, the reality of what they are doing is hitting home in some fresh ways. And one of my favorite things to do at that point in the ceremony is I look both of them in the eye and I say, would you just relax? Take a deep breath right now and enjoy these moments because of the power and the work of the Spirit of God. In your brokenness, in your weakness, you can count on that. The same is true for you and me right here. In all those ways that we're struggling, we're focusing on the brokenness, the darkness, the void, the aimlessness, whatever it is. And God wants us to remember, and to close on this note, that the Spirit of God is hovering over your family, over your life, over this church, over your neighborhood, over your work, over your school. He is hovering, ready to create. Because of that, we can walk into today and tomorrow and the next day this week with hope and anticipation, serving each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for how practical it is. I thank you for your Spirit and how you have spoken to us today. No question, Father, not because of my words, but because of your words, your power and your word and your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for speaking. Father, just help us to go and do likewise. Help us to have this sense of hope and anticipation because your Spirit is hovering, ready to create and ready to do new things, to bring about new conversations, new ways to meet people's needs. And Father, we just are excited about that. We look forward to seeing your Spirit move and work. In Jesus' name, amen.
peace knowing that God is sovereign. He holds us in his hand. He goes before us. Nothing is a surprise to him. He's with us every step of the way. Amen.